Ладно.
Welcome to Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. I decided to do things a little bit differently today, and I was like, you know what? I'm really anxious to talk to my guest today, my guests today on the panel. So I wanted to go ahead and bring them in now to talk about this first story. We've got Matthew Marsden, Blaze TV contributor and actor and producer extraordinaire, along with Jason Buttrell, chief researcher of the Glenn Beck program and main star in the new Blaze Originals documentary.
Thank you for that.
Yes. Yeah. And he does. I know I texted this to you, but like, you look like a total badass throughout the whole thing. So
movie magic, that's called.
I don't know. Is that true?
It's totally true. No, I actually said the same thing when I saw that. I was like, wow, like he looks cool.
Yeah.
Not that
yeah.
you don't look cool in real life.
I mean, he's a total nerd in real life, but he does. Yeah. They do make him look really cool. So, okay. So I want to talk. Let's start by going through this. I feel like I have whiplash from all of the latest on the Texas's SB4, which of course is the law that allows Texas officials, authorities to apprehend someone who is suspected to be an illegal immigrant and detain them. And so this was in law. This has been in the Biden administration sued, and it's been gone back and forth. And yesterday, just hours after the Supreme Court allowed Texas to enforce SB4, this was a 6-3 decision. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered a pause with a 2-1 decision, and they were hearing arguments earlier today. So,
how many times did it go back and forth? It was like 4 or 5?
I guess, because the day before the Supreme Court ruled, they granted an extension on pausing the law. And then the day after that, the Supreme Court was like, just kidding, never mind. We're going to allow the law to continue. And then the same day, right? Yes, the same day. I know. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals was like, no, we're going to pause it. And so everyone's like, wait, what? I don't even understand what just happened.
I went to bed last night and I was reading Ken Paxton's tweet where he was like, we won. Yeah. And I was like, huzzah. Yeah. So I'm laying in bed. My wife's like, stop, go to bed. And then I wake up and then I saw, just kidding.
Yeah.
It's back off again.
Yeah.
It's such a dog and pony show. And that's really is all it is.
Well, it is. Now, this, I mean, look, there's no way that this doesn't get kicked up to the Supreme Court for a final decision eventually. That's obviously where this goes, because whatever the ruling is on the final ruling of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, whoever is the loser on that end is just going to keep suing, right?
Well, yeah, but for sure. But can I pose the question, even if we do win, as in Texas wins, what do we win exactly?
Right.
So just like you mentioned the border documentary, just like with the seizure of Shelby Park, which is a complete and total photo op, and that's all it is, what do we win here? So if the Texas National Guard can apprehend, which is the same, you know, power given to the Border Patrol, like someone literally has to do something about it once they cross the border. Where do they go? Like, will we have the same camps only controlled by the National Guard, and they'll wait there, and they'll still get paroled, and nothing really will change, right?
Right.
And even still, even if you can deport, where are you going to deport them to?
Yeah, Mexico already said that they're not going to take back anyone who's ordered to leave. So they're like, we don't want them. Which is very convenient of them that they allow all these people to cross through Mexico and come into the United States, and then they're like, We don't want anything to do with these people. Yeah, it's like, oh, that's convenient.
The vast majority of people coming across now are not from Mexico.
Right.
They're from elsewhere,
right.
All over the world, really. And if there's one thing that I've learned within the past few weeks is everything that Texas says they're doing, I think not all of it, but a vast majority of it is just for the headlines and for the appearance. So anytime you hear this stuff, really think about it. Like, what will change on this, if anything?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think much, really.
Yeah, I mean, but I think that it will be, I think that it's important to put the feds on notice on if you are not going to follow through with your responsibility of defending and protecting our sovereign borders, or at least they're supposed to be, then do the states have the power to do something like this?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, do the states have if the federal government completely abdicates and neglects its responsibility, mm-hmm. does the state have the right to then go, okay, well, if you're not going to do it, then we are, because it's the law, right? Like, I think that that's the precedent that I'm looking forward to being set.
But look, I mean, we're at a point now where if you cannot defend I mean, if you cannot defend the borders of your country, and I'm just thinking about the arguments, like what argument is there?
It's dangerous.
Turning up there and going, well, this is the border and we would like to stop people coming over it. And the government arguing, well, no.
That's too mean and dangerous for the illegals.
In theory, all Texas is asking for or saying is, hey, we'll help you.
Yeah.
Like Biden administration, right. Federal government, we'll help you out.
Right.
And the government's saying, no, don't help us because we're not going to do anything
about it. We
don't
want to do it.
And here's the thing. You know, if you are sitting in a car that is involved in a bank robbery, you are charged as an accessory to the crime, mm-hmm. right? Like if you're driving it, like you might not go in and rob the bank, but you're an accessory to the crime. What is Mexico? If they're allowing people to come through, they're an accessory to the crime. I'm sorry, Mexico.
I'm not sorry, Mexico.
No, I'm not sorry, actually. What am I saying? No, but it's, and again, I sit there. This is the one thing that does really, really piss me off because
there's way more things that piss you off.
There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things. All right. But no, I am an absolute one issue voter. Like this drives me bonkers because I did this the right way.
Yeah.
Like it was such a wonderful moment for me to even be able to come into the country. It was, I valued it. I treasured it. When I took the first step to get my green card, it was an amazing thing. And I had one of the most amazing experiences, even though it was under COVID, when I got my citizenship. And I just see people just say, whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm going to come in. And we've said this 1,000 times on this show and the other show. What does it mean when your first act in this country is a crime?
Breaking the
law. And that's what it is. And stop saying migrants. Stop letting them say, because, and this drives me mad, and we've said this before again, is the left dominates the words, right? They dominate the language.
You mean the newcomers?
The newcomers, the immigrants. I'm like, hang on a minute. Don't be like lumping me in with these people, right?
Yeah.
It's just infuriating to me.
I think conservative media really needs to step up. And I'll put our own network on blast for this. I think that all conservative media needs to not just cheer on some of these wins, because they are wins. And Kim Paxton's doing a great job in stacking his wins up. Mm-hmm. But conservative media needs to ask very specific questions on these things. After what I saw at the border, I'm like, okay, enough of that. Like, we have to be harder on some of these officials. For instance, I'd love to ask Kim Paxton very specifically, what does that mean you can detain and arrest at the border? Well, it means we can grab them and put them in our own camps. Okay, so does that mean you will defy parole? The parole that the Biden administration has ramped up, just letting all these immigrants out. Will you not do that? Ask that question.
Right.
Because if you're not prepared to take that next step and then defy that parole order and just immediately put them on a Texas jet with a big Texas flag and send them back to these other countries, it means nothing.
Well,
nothing will change.
You know what? There's an additional step to that, though, as well, because Ken specifically has been undermined every step of the way that he's tried to do these things for this state, right? So the question is, okay, what is the process? How are you going to execute that process? And who's stopping it? Who are the people that are undermining you to get this done, mm-hmm. right? And because then, as a state, not to go on about Texas, but everyone needs to do this in every single state around the country, is hold the people that we're voting in accountable for what they're doing. Right, because they're just as complicit. Right, we speak over and over about the Uniparty. That the Texas Republicans. I mean, I'll let you name the name of the one person I have no idea how that person is still in a job. I don't know whether there's a runoff. I don't get it.
Just one.
Well, there's one specifically, yeah. Right? But we need to. It's not just media outlets, it's actually the pressure should come from Americans. And we've said this again, over and over again, that people need to step up and get involved, because none of this, that they wouldn't get away with it if there was a groundswell of opinion. Like if 30,000 people decided they were going to go down to Eagle Pass and make a stand and say, listen, not just the truckers, right, but actual Texans, and say, what is going on here?
I want to add one more piece of this puzzle too, because when we're talking about all of the we're talking about the damage done to America, to Texans, and all of that. And I obviously, I agree with all of that, and I talk about it all the time. But I want to focus on one other aspect of this, which is the human rights abuses being committed by these cartels, who are, of course, being, the Biden administration might as well be getting a commission check in the mail from these cartels and these coyotes every single month, because they are enabling.
Are you sure they're not?
Well, they might be. There might be 10% for the big guy on that area, too. Yeah. So I want to play. I watched this. This is heartbreaking. This Mexican boy who was lost because the smugglers who he paid to bring him to America just completely abandoned him because he couldn't keep up. Watch.
We came across this young man who was abandoned all alone in an area where no one would want to be left, in this rough, remote terrain of Terrell County. The sheriff there telling me that they have recovered 37 bodies over the last 3 years of migrants trying to cross into the U.S.
Legal immigrants.
Brutal, unforgiving terrain in a remote area of the Texas border. That's where we found 18-year-old Hector, a Mexican national trying to escape the cartel. Hector tells a gut-wrenching story of getting abandoned by the group he was traveling with. He's clearly distraught.
Yes, please, I want to go home to my mother. He left me in those hills. I had to cross from there to there, and I went to the ranch looking for help. Yes, where is the group? They left. They abandoned me. I couldn't keep walking. So you're here alone?
Hector
yes.
was spotted when he signaled for help on a game camera in Terrell County, presenting his Mexican passport, prompting Sheriff Thaddeus Cleveland to jump into action.
That is a consequence, a direct consequence of the Biden regime's open border policy. That's what's happening. You've got, and I mean, we've seen so much more than that, right? We've seen young children, toddlers, like tossed over walls and left. I mean, it's human rights atrocities. And it's so funny because do you remember when they were screaming about Donald Trump has people in cages? Donald Trump has people in cages. I don't know. That seems more humane than allowing this culture where all of these cartels and coyotes are coming over here, making money off of people and then leaving them for dead. I don't know. Am I crazy?
No. You're not crazy. And I just to go back to who's making money off of all this, because you're exactly right. None of that happens without the cartels' expressed approval.
Right.
None of it. And they need them for this entire thing to work. But who in the Mexican government's involved in that? Who in the international community is involved in that? Because you can go, there was a report out a few months ago where Doctors Without Borders, was it the Red Cross? I can't remember. It was a bunch of different international organizations were passing out maps to these illegals that were coming all the way through, you know, north through South America, maps with little icons that would show, oh, you can stay here. Mm-hmm. You can get medical attention here. Mm-hmm. You can jump on a bus or train here. It showed trains, you know, like when they jump on top of the roofs of the trains. And yep. it detailed maps from international organizations. These international organizations know for a fact that the cartels control the southern border.
Right.
So they know that they're delivering them to the cartels, who then pay money. Who's cut in on this?
Right.
I would not be surprised if you find out that not only on that side, there's like Mexican government officials that are being cut in, international organizations that are getting cut in on this, but also on this side of the border as well.
Mm-hmm.
Are some of these like, you know, governors of some of these states or mayors of towns? Who the heck knows? Because they're the ones that are saying, oh, we're going to be a sanctuary. You know, like, what are you getting off of all of this?
Yeah.
Well, America used to say that it was great, and it used to put the flag down and say, listen, these are ideas and these ideals that we hold to. And what the left has gradually done is pulled it down and down and down and down. So now there's no moral authority in the USA anymore. You can't really turn around and say in any way, shape. I mean, I guess you could argue it, but really you can't, like you used to, is say, listen, we have a certain moral standing in the world, and we are not going to accept this kind of behavior. We're not going to accept this kind of brutality. We're not going to accept this kind of dysfunction. We can't say that anymore. So what you're seeing is that the whole standards that we used to abide by are dropping. They're getting lower and lower and lower and lower. And when that happens, you have this brutality, this dysfunction is allowed to flourish, because no one can point the finger and say that's a bad thing. right? So they can't point the finger. They're not, if you look, the lefty's not pointing the finger and saying that the cartels are bad. They're not saying it. They're not saying that the trafficking is bad, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at what they said about Sound of Freedom, that it was a right-wing conspiracy. Hang on a second. This is about the trafficking of children. Well, but if they are dysfunctional, how can they point to another dysfunction? Because it'll be pointed straight back at them. So we need to get back to being a God-fearing nation again and starting standing up for things that are right. And we're not doing that right now. And that's why we're in such a bad situation.
I agree. All right, we've got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more. All right, we don't have, I don't have much to commentary to provide on that, but I did want to tell you guys some breaking news here that the judge in the case in Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, that was overseeing whether or not the FBI needed to release the Nashville shooter's manifesto, the judge just ruled in that case that the manifesto does need to be released by the FBI. So we should, in theory, be able to obtain a copy of that eventually. I don't know when yet, but we'll keep an eye on that because that's like these, they think these stories are just going to go away and everyone's going to forget and people aren't going to be able to have answers. But, and by the way, one more note on that. I do feel bad for the families because I do know that the families have asked. They said, we really don't want anything to be released. It causes additional trauma to our community. But I just, it's so much more than that, you know? I mean, people deserve answers. The country deserves answers. And it's just, it's one of those unfortunate things that it's like, you can't let your emotions rule the day. There's so many more important things to get to, and it's just, it's heartbreaking for them, but it's like, we need the truth.
You mentioned the families, and that's something that I was going to say is I've never been in that emotional state before. Yeah. Thank God. But I can't imagine not wanting to let the world know.
I thought the same thing.
Horrendous crime.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's why it's like, I don't want to like question their judgment, no. But it's like, I could never understand or imagine how that feels. But I mean, there's so many more pieces to that puzzle that we have to figure out.
And well, I think as well, though, if we lived in a society where people didn't rush to judgment on every single incident like this, which is what we have.
Yeah.
If cooler heads prevailed and everyone was like, okay, now I understand saying, you know, we don't want to glorify this person, we don't, their name being out there, or I totally understand that. But again, within 5 minutes of these things happening, there are clowns on social media saying that they know who it is and why they did it, and blah, 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 blah. We don't live in that world anymore where people calm down. They're too busy trying to make a point.
And here's the other piece of that puzzle. You have people on social media who are saying that, but what you also have are the social media companies that completely scrub these people's profiles so you can't go and verify.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You can't go and look, which is just, and that's why it's like, it's so much bigger than that, because every single time now we have something like this happen, you're not allowed to go look at the social media history of these shooters, of these murders. You're not allowed to go back and look at like potential motives or what they were into. They take all of that information away from you and you're left to just speculate. Well, let's stop speculating. Let's get to the bottom of it from the person themselves.
Yeah, specifically with these trans shooters. I mean, right now the government is doing what they usually do and the media, where they pick out a group of people and say, this group of people is under attack. It is dangerous for them to be there. They need special attention because they are under attack.
Yeah.
You keep saying that long enough and you will drive people to danger. Mm. They'll start believing it and they'll do the craziest of things if they think that their life is in danger and the rest of their group mm-hmm. is also in danger.
It's like the climate change protesters.
Exactly.
Gluing
exactly
themselves
the same.
To floors and stuff. And you're just like, why are you doing this? Because you've riled them up so much. They literally think that their life is going to be over. They literally think the world is going
to
end.
Young people are scared to death yes. over climate change. Yeah. What are you going to drive them to do if they right. think it's helpless?
Yeah.
Like they should not have kids because right. the climate, the world's about to explode.
Yeah.
What are you driving them to do?
And exactly. also, how many times have we seen this that you look at the FBI and look, I think that up until recently, we'll all be, you know, back the blue and support the FBI. But you look and you go, you knew them. You knew. Mm-hmm. Like you saw all the signs. So is that an element? This is a question, you know, is it an element of I'm actually covering my own tracks because it was all there and I chose to ignore it, or someone higher up the food chain told me to ignore it because we can't say those bad things about those people? Because how many times has this happened now? It's happened multiple times where like, well, they were known to mm-hmm. the FBI and didn't want to do this, didn't want, no. And to your point, I want to know, right? Because if there's a pattern that I can see with an individual, there was something that happened quite recently in my friend group where someone was exhibiting these certain traits. And you're like, you got to call the police because this is really serious. And so if you can identify that, then that can potentially be stopped, or you can put some kind of pressure on the FBI to do their frigging jobs instead of hunting after January 6 people. Like maybe go after the people that say they want to kill everybody.
Yeah. Which I'll just say this, and this is just based off of what I've heard that I have not been able to independently confirm. So like, I'm not going to run with it. If what I have heard is true, it was a situation like that where at least at the bare minimum, the local law enforcement should have like this. It should have already been dealt with. There were signs, right? They should have been on the radar. So, all right, but we'll stay updated with that on whenever that comes down the pike. I wanted to also touch on this with you guys. So, you know, we have what Michael Whatley and Lara Trump, who are now co-chairing the RNC. And we heard, what was it, last week or the week before, that they fired a whole bunch of people. And I was like, okay, all right, that sounds pretty epic. Okay, this might be trending in the right direction. And now the RNC is suing Nevada's Democrat Secretary of State Francisco Aguilar, saying that the state has, quote, impossibly high voter rolls, and that Aguilar and five county clerks failed to properly maintain the requirements of the National Voter Registration Act of 1993, which, of course, requires states to maintain clean and accurate voter registration records. So,
dumpster fire of a law. Oh, my gosh.
Well, but listen. So in the case, they said three counties count more registered voters than there are actual adult citizens. And two additional counties have voter registration rates that exceed 90% of adult citizens over the age of 18, which is like way over the normal
why now?
Registration rate.
Why now? Why not? Right after the last election, why didn't they start doing this then?
Because they were controlled by Ronna Romney McDaniel.
Why was she even there? I mean, we all know how terrible she was. I mean, this is just ridiculous. I mean, we knew after the last election, I know you can't talk about that, but we knew after the last election that something was up. Day one, they should have started doing this. And they're doing it, you know, a few months before now. I mean, even if they were to start doing that now, what about all the other counties? What about all the other states that we know that there's been some dodgy stuff going on? And what they should do is not only sue this clown, but sue the other Republicans that didn't do anything about it in the first place, if they can.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, it's such a clown show. Mm-hmm. It's such a clown show.
Gosh, here I was thinking it was good news. Never mind.
No, it is good news, but I'm still like it's frustrating to me. Like
it is frustrating, but my point is maybe there's hope, right? Because they already sued Michigan Secretary of State over the same type of behavior. So now it's Michigan and Nevada, however you say it. And so
Nevada.
It's like, all right, I mean, look, it was what it was with Ronna Romney McDaniel, which, by the way, again, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I know some people are not going to like it. Donald Trump had the opportunity to endorse Harmeet Dhillon for RNC chair, and he chose not to. He chose to endorse Ronna Romney McDaniel again. Okay. So I cannot wrap my brain around why he did that. I don't know why he would have helped her continue her role of losing because she's a loser. And, but now that she's gone, maybe we can clean this up.
Yeah. It is good news, Sarah.
Thank you, Jason.
It is good. I think it's good news. It's just good news late. I would rather have had years of
good
news.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, the news surrounding just campaign, you know, donations was almost apocalyptic before this happened. They weren't getting any money at all. Now they're starting to open up their checkbooks again because of the moves that they've been making. They stacked up quite a few wins ever since this happened. I loved how the mass firings were like at first reported on as a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they don't know what they're doing, blah, blah, blah. No, the RNC has the same issues of basically Congress, right? People that vote for their congressman, a lot of times, they just keep voting for the same person, see Cornyn, people like that, that have just been there forever. Yeah. Why? Because seniority matters in a lot of these cases, because they get to the, you know, on the right committees, they become chairs of committees, they hold a lot more power. So people are scared to change. Well, in the meantime, those people are completely bought off by special interests, completely bought off. And it was the same thing in the RNC. A lot of those people had been there forever, but they had the connections to certain donors and blah, blah, blah. So they just like kept the status quo. And I'm sure that's what Trump was seeing too. And that's what people were telling him. They're like, oh, you know, this person has connections there. But that's how rot infests. Yep. That's how it, you know, metastasizes. And it's good. The RNC needs to be completely shaken up. You need new blood. You need young blood that aren't scared. And then, you know, will have new ideas and will have the balls to actually act on them. That needs to continue all throughout the entire GOP, because the GOP sucks right now. Absolutely sucks.
Which I will, to her credit, Laura Trump did sit right there where you are sitting right now, Jason, and she said that they were going to come in there and shake things up and clean it up. And so far, they have. Now, I'm not saying I'm about to donate to them. We'll wait and see on that one. But I'm just saying, it does appear that they are doing what they said they were going to do, especially with also working with Scott Pressler. They did also come out and say she said that they were going to on the show. I talked to Scott Pressler, and Scott was like, no one's reached out to me yet. But it was like the day that she became co-chair. And I was like, hang on tight, Scott. Hold on. Help's coming. And then, of course, they made the announcement that they are going to work with
him. Can I say that was how they were really weak, is they would not reach out to grassroots efforts at all. No. Because they were like, you know, they were the authorities, and they were only sticking to the good old boys club, you know, and the people. No, grassroots. That's how the left took so much, you know, headway.
Exactly.
Keep doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I know we got to go to break, but you look at the way that she spent the RNC's money versus the way that the DNC spent their money. And they spent like over $1 million on get out the vote texts. And hers was like $25,000, because they just did. They didn't care. They did not care about grassroots. They actually, I would say they hated grassroots, if I'm being honest. Okay. Let's go to a quick break. We got to come back with more. First, I want to thank our sponsor, the segment Relief Factor. So if you are living in pain, maybe you've got, I don't know, tennis elbow, arthritis, back problems, knee problems, whatever the case may be, what you might not realize is that it's mostly due to inflammation in your body. That is what is at the root cause of your pain. And, you know, you can find ways to mask the pain, but it's like, you're going to be like, ooh, I'm rubbing this on my arm and it feels cold and then it feels hot. And that's awesome for 10 minutes. And then you're in pain again. Okay. Don't do that. Try Relief Factor. It is all natural. It's an anti-inflammatory, super powerful, potent anti-inflammatory developed by doctors that actually targets the root cause of your pain, which is the inflammation. So do yourself a favor. Go to relieffactor.com. Get their 3-week quick start. It's $19.95. It comes with a feel better or your money back guarantee. So you have nothing to lose except your pain. You can go to relieffactor.com. That is relieffactor.com. So as we talk about the election that obviously is coming up, I wanted to play kind of an interesting clip here from mainstream media going through the approval numbers for blacks and Hispanics, comparing Trump's policies over Biden's. Here's that.
I want to show you this New York Times Siena College poll that found that both black and Hispanic voters say that Donald Trump's policies have helped them more than Joe Biden's policies by pretty wide margins, especially when you look at Hispanic voters. Is that alarming to you that nothing that the Biden campaign has said or done to this point has brought that at least closer than it is right now in this polling?
The Biden administration has an incredible track record of support and making sure
that
it is working at all times to build an economy from the middle out and the bottom up as opposed to the top down.
Oh, man, you saw the hamster was spinning so fast in that wheel in his head. He's like, the Biden administration has done great for black people. I don't know what those people are talking about that took that poll. What? Things are great. I'm sorry. I lost connection. I can't hear you. I gotta go.
Yeah, the people that he claims to be helping with this amazing track record haven't seen those results.
Really?
So maybe you should listen to them. I don't know.
But that does seem to be the Biden regime's strategy: is just don't believe your lying eyes. Mm-hmm. That's what they've done this whole time.
Well, what happens is that, and this happens over and over and over again. They say a statement, and then they keep saying it, and then the mainstream media, you know, they're little puppies in mainstream media, just repeat and repeat and repeat. And everyone's like, "This it is a massive case of gaslighting, right? Yeah. It's like, no, the economy's great. I'm like, hang on a minute. My electricity bill just rocketed last month. Or, you know, I'm going out and I'm buying three bags of shopping and it's $150. Yeah. Like, don't tell me.
Right.
Don't pee on me and tell me it's raining. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous what they're doing. And people have had enough now.
That's Bidenomics. It's like, yeah, I know it sucks. I don't like it. I don't know why you guys coined a term for it. It just sucks. Like, I would stay away from that. I don't know what PR person told you that was a good idea, but don't do that. Actually, go ahead and do it through November. That would be fine.
I'm surprised it has taken this long for especially the black community to kind of come to the realization that maybe they've been lying to us this entire time. I mean, you just go back to the 1960s, you know, like war on poverty, all that. Mm-hmm. That has devastated black families. Mm-hmm. Devastated. But that was what the Democrats, that's their crowning achievement.
And it's not only that, it's that now combined with the fact that they are allowing illegal immigrants into the country who historically, the studies have shown that they are coming in and they are taking the black community's jobs.
Okay, yeah. So especially on that issue right there and switching to the Hispanic community.
Right.
Because that's half my family. That's my wife's family. And they all went through what you went through. And
they're pissed.
Oh, man, they're so pissed. Yep. I was talking to my father-in-law back when he was alive about what he thought about all this. And he goes, I had to get a lawyer, spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to get this done. Mm-hmm. And then go through the process with the rest of his family. He goes, but now they're just like, come on over, instant citizenship. He's like, this is not fair.
And it's not just the free pass to get in. It's the free phone. It's the debit card. It's the hotel room. They're just getting a total free ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the Hispanic population that came here legally are extremely angry about all this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They really are. And people, I mean, even if you go and speak to the Customs and Border Patrol, there's a massive amount of them that are Hispanic. And they're also, not only are they angry at the fact that people are coming over illegally, but they're also mad that their people are being exploited.
Right.
So it's a double whammy. And then they look at what's happening to them in their economy and they're like, this is just untenable.
Yeah. Before we go, I do want to get to an update in the Fannie Willis saga. So what was it yesterday? Or the day before, the judge in that case, of course, made the decision that, all right, yeah, Fannie Willis and her lover, Nathan Wade, did engage in misconduct. But you know what? Go ahead and take Nathan Wade off the case and we can keep Fannie Willis on. Well, the Trump team appealed that decision and asked the judge to grant a motion for the Georgia Court of Appeals to review that determination. And the judge just today granted that appeal. So now the Trump team will have the ability to seek a pretrial review of the judge's decision not to remove Fannie Willis from the case.
This is this is an insane story. I cannot believe it has gotten to this point to where they even have to appeal. I mean, you basically had someone that campaigned on going after Trump. She campaigned on it, and then she used the entire case to go take these vacations and stuff and pay her boyfriend. I mean, how the hell is this not the biggest conflict of interest ever in a trial? I mean, it's nuts.
But also, why aren't people mad at her for abusing our money that is going to our tax dollars? Why aren't they mad? It's, you know, they're so mad at Trump. I mean, how many times have you seen that, you just hate a strong black woman? I'm like, it's got nothing to do with that. Like, she's clearly corrupt.
Yeah.
She's clearly corrupt.
What's crazy is I was very critical of the Trump campaign for not specifically addressing how they were going to win back states that they lost, because it just didn't look, for one, how we already talked about, the GOP did nothing about fixing the election laws in those areas, did nothing. And in fact, it got worse. So I was like, how are we going to take places like Wisconsin, places like Georgia? Well, they're kind of doing it to themselves and giving Trump the victory. And with crap like this, I don't see how they thought in their mind this was not going to galvanize a base of support, a larger base of support in some of these swing states. That's exactly what it's done. So, I mean, I think the last poll I saw, Trump was now leading Biden by a pretty good amount in Georgia. When I say pretty good, you know, within several points. But, I mean, definitely not losing it.
Right.
Keep doing this stuff, guys.
Yeah. Can you tell us exactly how much that is? Because then we'll know how much they got to cheat by.
Don't do that.
Just saying.
Don't do that. All right. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more. But we want to thank our sponsor this segment, the Ripaverse. And those of you, I think most of you guys know, I wish that he was just here yesterday. That's so funny. I wish those of you who don't know, Ripaverse was founded by Blaze contributor Eric July. And this comic book company was not created at like random. It was actually created as a solution to combat the mainstream comic book industry. Eric, I'm sure that you guys know him, but he has been rooted in the culture of American comic books since he was a youngster, and being creative in the industry was always a dream of his. And the unfortunate state of the comic book world going so super woke gave him the push that he needed to take a shot, start his own company. He's seen what works and he's seen what doesn't work, and he has had such major success. We're so happy for him. And look, he has this new pre-order campaign. It's number one pre-order campaign that has just launched. It's called The Yaira. It's a 90-page graphic novel that promises to wow you with stunning cinematic action throughout and answer burning questions about the Ripaverse's resident femme fatale. You can check out the live-action trailer and help support this totally independent comic book company by going to ripaverse.com/Yaira. The campaign ends May 25th and orders will go out immediately, so don't sleep on it. It's ripaverse.com/Yaira. So I have been fascinated watching this new docuseries called Quiet on Set. It's on Max. It's released by ID. It's on Max for those of you who want to check it out. And it kind of details the alleged misconduct and mistreatment of children who acted on certain Nickelodeon TV shows back in the day. It was like All That, The Amanda Show, of course, Amanda Bynes, who we've seen what has happened to her since being a child star with Nickelodeon, and also Drake and Josh. So Drake Bell, well, I don't want to give too many spoilers, but Drake Bell actually comes forward for the first time saying he was the child star who was sexually assaulted by Nickelodeon dialogue coach Brian Peck, who was convicted in 2004 of a lewd act against a child and oral copulation of a person under 16. Just watch the documentary if you want, you know, more details, but it's horrifying when you hear it from him. And Dan Schneider, of course, the executive producer of many of these, has been long accused of wrongdoing while writing The Amanda Show, involving workplace harassment, gender discrimination. Former female writers have come forward saying he paid them way less. Now, of course, he denies these claims, but I want to just play for you guys some of the scenes that were written by Dan Schneider. Here's some of Ariana Grande, who was 16 at the time. And I want you to just ask yourselves, does this seem odd or creepy to you that an adult male would be writing this for a 16-year-old girl to perform out? Watch.
Wow. Like, I bet nobody else on earth has ever said those exact words that I just said. That happens to me a lot. So now, just for fun, I'm going to say three sentences that I bet not one person has ever said before in the history
of
mankind.
Why is she holding that?
Sentence number one.
Just wondering.
Oh, man, my uvula got stuck between that hamster's toes. See?
What?
That could never happen because your uvula is that swingy thing in the back of your throat right here. So there's no way you could get it stuck between a hamster's toes. Sentence number three. Ah! I'm soaking wet! Quick, somebody bring me the ocean! No one would ever say that. Why? Because if you were soaking wet and you were upset about it, the last thing you'd want is for somebody to bring you the ocean. Because the ocean is even more wet than even the wettest person in the world. Have you ever tried to get your whole big toe in your mouth? Check this out.
What?
Sometimes I wonder if you can get juice from a potato.
Oh, yeah.
Is it possible for a teenage girl to drink water upside down? I'm thirsty.
No.
It's not possible. This has been me in a video.
Oh, that's awful.
Come on. Give up the juice.
Oh, my God.
You gotta be kidding me.
Can you imagine what life would be like?
Is there, as my friend Steve Dace would say, any sort of benign, innocent explanation for a grown male writing that type of content for a 16-year-old girl?
No, I can't think of it. And it's more than, I mean, who, and there's only a couple of people that have been questioned about this because that there's multiple different layers that would have had it gone through from the writers, the producers, everyone would have, you know, this a lot better than I do, yeah. Right? Like how many people does that go through to get greenlit?
Yeah. Well, and also where are the parents?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine getting home and you'd sit there and probably read the scenes with your kids and you'd be like, what is going on here? It's, I mean, that is really, really disturbing. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
The potato thing is shocking. That's clear. It's very clear what they're trying to simulate there.
No, I know. I'm trying, what'd she say? I just want the juice. I mean, I've been watching this and I'm like, I just can't. And I, knowing that I had you here,
I've never.
Both of you.
I mean, look, I had it when, you know, in the movie I Am That Man that I wrote and directed, I had my son in it. The agents came for him and they said, hey, listen, we'd love to have your son. And I was like, absolutely no way. But I didn't think that was going on. I mean, I know that, you know, you've always got to be careful, right? Because there's always a bunch of weirdos, dysfunctional weirdos out there. But wow.
Yeah.
The depravity within entertainment is absolutely insane. I don't know what you saw. I didn't see personally with my own eyes when I was in that industry anything bad, or I obviously would have reported it immediately. But the whispering that you would hear, the Weinstein whispering, all over Hollywood, all over. Like when it came out, when it finally came out, I was like, this finally came out? Like, I mean, everyone knew. They all talk about it. And I'm sure everyone probably knew about this. Like I said, multiple different layers before. The stuff that I write for Glenn, it doesn't go immediately to the prompter. It goes through like three other people before finally getting there. So tons of people would know about this. But these are the same people that would go up to award shows and profess how much more virtuous they are than you are.
Right.
The rest of the country, you're all bad.
Right.
We emulate us. Meanwhile, in private, that's the type of bullcrap that they're doing.
You know, the difficulty is if you don't take that job, somebody's going to take it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the, I mean, all you've got to do is if you go out, if you know this because you were there, if you go out to LA and you go to Starbucks, this is not a joke, you will see parents with their kids are all dressed up and they're at Starbucks opposite like the big agencies or opposite Warner Brothers or what, hoping And I've heard this with my own ears. I couldn't believe it as a professional actor coming from the UK, that people just dress their kids up and they just sit in Starbucks all day hoping that someone will notice their kid. So
I know which one you're talking about, right at Santa Monica and Wilshire.
Yeah, exactly what I mean. It's right there. It's right opposite the agency, right? Yep. So people would just go there and sit there because, you know, I mean, mainly it'd be the interns that would be going in, getting the coffee. The agents are going, don't get the coffee. But I mean, that is utterly shocking. Like you said, it has to be, number one, it has to be conceptualized. And then it has to go to, I mean, if he wrote it, it has to go up to the producer and the director have to okay it. Then it has to go up to the next level. Sometimes it'll be what they call, they'll do it at the studio level. And then it has to go to the network level.
Right.
Those are the levels you have to go through.
Right. And it's a great documentary so far. I haven't finished it, but like I highly recommend watching it. One of the most shocking things to me is the amount of parents who are just willing to just be like, bye, I'll pick you up at, you know, 6 when you're done. I'm just like, no effing way I would ever leave my child alone with these grown adults and no parental super. I just wouldn't. I don't. My son doesn't even go back to the dentist by himself. Like,
well, they also have. You have to have a tutor on set. Like it is required that you have to have a tutor on set. And so even when I did my own film, I had to have a tutor on set, but I still had someone sitting in with my son.
Right, exactly. Anyway, I highly recommend it. It's disgusting, but just extremely well done. Jason, we've got like 40 seconds to talk about your documentary. I'm not going to sit here and talk about you. I'm just going
to
let you.
Very eye-opening. Texas versus the Feds. Go to blazeoriginals.com. Check that out. You will be probably black-pilled a little bit, I would say. I definitely was. Not only the way the media was manipulating the whole Christian nationalist thing, getting everybody all riled up. That was completely bullcrap. I'll spoil that for you. But we did go with them and then also went down to the border. That's where the big-time black-pilling happens. Question everything. And I think this documentary helps to start those questions. Even when it's people on your side, still question, get to the truth. And this documentary goes a long way for it.
And you said it might be at blazeoriginals.com. It's also at therealbordercrisis.com. You can use code BORDER to get $30 off of your Blaze TV subscription. It's extremely well done. And look at that picture. Jason looks like a badass. So you need to go check it out. It is therealbordercrisis.com, promo code BORDER. May I present to you an exchange between Tony Bobulinski, of course, former business associate of Hunter Biden, and AOC, the world's smartest individual, AOC. Here was that exchange on Capitol Hill today.
Did you watch him steal something?
Corruption statutes, RICO and conspiracy.
What is it? What is the crime, sir?
He's telling you.
Specifically.
You asked me to answer the question. I answered the question. No. RICO, you're obviously not familiar with. Corruption
Excuse me, sir. RICO is not a crime. It is a category. What is the
crime? It's a category of crimes that you're then charged.
You have charges.
A long hundred.
You have charges. Sir, please name
the exact statute under RICO.
Yes.
Well, it's funny. In this committee room, everyone's not here. There's over 18
lawyers. All right, sir. I reclaim my
lawyers
time.
RICO is not a crime. It is a category. And when you put Porto in front of it, it is a territory, sir. I reclaim my time. Only the best and brightest.
Good grief.
Embarrassing.
Leading the country.
Embarrassing. What's so agonizing is she was like, what specifically was the crime? And he just goes off a laundry list.
No.
RICO, you know, like Farrah, all these different things. Instead, she just tries to shout him down the entire time.
By the way, I think she needs to get a message to Fannie Willis that apparently her RICO case is moot point.
She just absolved
it. Dump that.
You're good.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.